It is good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. And if you're happy to be here, say amen. Amen. Be finding in God's precious book, His Holy Word, Daniel, the third chapter. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. And as you find that, if you would rise to your feet as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was a stone-eyed, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselor, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, as we come to this message today, Lord, it is a message where our God is going to show us how to stand alone with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this text teaches. And there's not a greater lesson, Father, that needs to be learned in the world in which we're living than this one, to stand alone with Jesus Christ. For the simple fact that every man, woman, or child who has repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is a twice-born person living in a once-born world. And that means a Christian is going to be up against it most of the time. And so, Lord, it is our prayer that this message today would draw us ever nearer to Jesus Christ as we see the day of the rapture approaching. Father, may you have your will and your way with those who are watching online this morning. Lord, may you have your will and your way with all of us who are here this morning. Father, may the will of the Lord be done. We pray for those who are yet without Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would come to know what Nebuchadnezzar came to know, that there is no other God but the God in heaven, and his name is Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It is in that name that we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, at whose name one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, we're going to conclude the message we began last week here this morning, and I just want you to know that as we move closer to the time of the rapture, that Christians the world over are going to discover more and more, and I think if you are awake in this world today, you've already are well aware that it is necessary for Christians to stand up and to speak up in this day and age in which we live, because in this world, Christians are going to be up against it most of the time. And as we spoke about last week, we're going to face emotional enticement. We're going to face social inducement. We're going to face governmental enforcement. We're going to face spiritual defilement. It's everywhere in this world today. And so wherever you are, it is in your world. That's what's happening today. And so as a child of God, we're going to be up against it, and we must learn to stand up against it. And today we're going to discover Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we can learn some lessons from them that I hope that will apply to our own lives. I want you to remember something that we spoke about last week, and something that's very important to hang on to. When you stand alone with the Lord Jesus Christ and you stand up for what Jesus Christ stands for, you are going to face the world's fury. Amen? And so I just want to begin by looking at here this morning the faith that they followed. What was it that enabled these three men to stand alone? The reason we need to ask this is because these are the things that you and I are going to have. And we're going to have them in the only place that matters, right here in our hearts. And we're going to have to teach them. We're going to have to teach them to our children, to our grandchildren, in the hopes that they will embrace the values of Christian values, the value of the Bible, the value of Jesus, that they'll embrace it in their own heart. And I want you to note here the spirit of the Antichrist. I wondered if you picked up on that as I was reading. Note the contempt that Nebuchadnezzar has for God when he says, "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Well, here's where it gets really good, friends. Look at verse 16 again in your Bible, and I pray you've kept it open. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, what they're saying is, listen, king, we don't got to study about it. We're not worried about it. We don't even have to ponder it. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Look at verses 17 and 18. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I want to talk to you for just a moment about what probably the average carnal Christian living in America would say to somebody who might be in the position of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's how I kind of figure the conversation might go. "Now, boys, you in a tight spot. You in a tight spot. I mean, your faith is about to be cast into the fire. So let me tell you what you need to do. Listen to me now. Here's what you need to do. When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians. Go along to get along. I mean, after all, it'd be a whole lot better for you to compromise just a little bit here and a little bit there, and you can live a little bit longer. And if you live a little bit longer, you can do some more good. And you don't need to be stubborn. Oh, don't stand up for what God says in His Word. Just sit on down there now. Just compromise. After all, don't you know Christians are supposed to go along just to get along? Isn't that been the message of the world for a long time now? These men didn't do it. And we're not to do it. So we need to find out, how did they not do it? It's because of the faith they had. And I want you to understand, I want you to notice three things about the faith they followed. Number one, it was a settled faith. Look again at verse 16, if you will. They said, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't have to get in a holy huddle. We don't have to ponder about it. We don't have to say, now, King, give me a night to sleep on it. Here's what I believe. I believe these boys had already been in a revival meeting. I believe these boys had listened to the preaching of Jeremiah before the southern kingdom of Judah was carried off by the Babylonians. I believe they'd been in a revival. I believe their hearts were set on what God says here in His Word. As I said last week, it's not about politics, friends. It is about God's Word. It's about Christian values. It's about standing up for what God's Word says. It's about living these values out. They'd been in a revival meeting. You see, when you read the Bible, you're going to know what's right. You listen to this world, you're going to wonder what's right. But when you read the Bible, you will know what is right. And so we need to read the Bible so that we know what is right. And they already knew what is wrong. You see, that's what's so wonderful about the Bible. The Bible tells you what's right, and the Bible tells you what's wrong. And we're living in a world today that wants to tell us that bad things, evil is good, and that good things is evil. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bible is our standard. The Bible is the book that we listen to. The Bible and the values that the Bible teaches is where we need to be found. The psalmist wrote, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." They knew what to do. Theirs was a faith. And so, I just want to share with you something Adrian Rogers said. How many of you know Adrian Rogers or knew of Adrian Rogers? Raise your hand here this morning. Adrian Rogers was a good preacher. And this is what Adrian Rogers said about Christians in the world today. He said, "There are too many of you spending too much time trying to make up your mind what you're going to do about this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing." He said, "One of the greatest decisions I learned in my life is one big decision will keep you from having to make a lot of little ones. Just make one big one." And then when the Nebuchadnezzars of the world say, "What are you going to do?" you say, "Hey, I don't have to think about it. I already know what to do. I've got God's Word on it." And I just want to encourage our young people today to get into the Word of God so that you'll have God's Word on it, and then you won't need to listen to what Facebook, social media, the media on television, fake news, and all that other junk has to say. God has already said it in His Word. Their faith was a settled faith. And their faith was also a strong faith. I want you to look again at verse 17. They said, verse 17. And they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King." Now they said, our God is able. And you'd better believe that. Our God is able. I don't care what impossible situation you may be dealing with today. Do you know that God can do the impossible? God can do what we cannot do. Our God is more than able. And when the Nebuchadnezzars of the world say, "Who is that God that shall deliver you?" You'd better believe that there is a God in the Bible who said, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, I will. That's the word of a holy God. And a holy God will deliver us. And if he doesn't deliver us through the fire, he'll deliver us in the fire. But you can rest assured that our God is going to deliver us. You know, B.B. McKinney wrote a song many years ago, and I'm not going to try to sing it this morning. Have faith in God. He's on the throne. Have faith in God. He watches over Rome. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Their faith was a settled faith. It was a strong faith, and it was a steadfast faith. Look again at verse 18, because there's something very interesting here. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, God is able to deliver us. We don't have any doubt about that. But if not, we're not going to serve your gods. We're not going to worship your image. Now, what does if not mean? Does it mean if God is not able? Not at all. Does it mean if God does not deliver us? No, that's not what it means either. It means if in this situation we be turned to bacon, if when you throw us like chips of wood into that burning fiery furnace and we're consumed, if that's the way it works out, fine. We're still not going to bow down and worship your God, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, friends, understand something. They don't have any doubt about God's power to deliver. That's not the point of this at all. It may happen that God, in his sovereignty, wants these boys to die in the fire. But let me ask you a question. You think about your faith. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does your faith have an if not clause in it? Our God is able to deliver us. We all like that. We all believe that. But if he doesn't, are you still going to serve and worship him? We're getting down to where the rubber meets the road of the Christian faith. You jot these verses down so you can look them up later. I'd encourage you to look them up later. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 39. There's something very important here for us to grasp when it comes to standing alone, because the truth is, all of us are like the story of these three men in the burning fiery furnace today. With all that's going on, critical race theory, the LGBTQIA plus agenda, the government enforcement is behind to be forced, everybody trying to squeeze everybody into one little mold. And you all know that's true, amen? Well, so we're with them. We're in that fiery furnace today. What's going to happen if you go along to get along? What's going to happen? Do you realize if you go along to get along, you're denying Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ stands against all that stuff? Do you realize the Bible stands against what the world is trying to promote? And if you go along with the world, you're just denying your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What's going to happen, friend, if you don't stand up for what you believe in? I just want to share with you, we all love the part that God is able, but do you have an if not clause? And so listen now, what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violent So fire escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And if we just stopped right there, everybody say, sign me up. Most everybody say, sign me up. We like that. We just read victory after victory after victory. But it doesn't end there. It's the end others. And oh boy, it's the end others that's going to get you right now. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Friend, if God doesn't get you what you want, he's going to give you something better than you want. Amen? And you better listen. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. And someone might be thinking, well, they were just put in prison for a little bit and then they got out. No. Look at verse 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith. God says these all got an A on their report card of faith. Yet, they were not delivered in the way in which you and I think that we ought to be delivered. These three Hebrew boys, they knew. They said, our God is able and our God is going to deliver us. But he may not keep us out of your fiery furnace, and we're still not going to bow down. It's okay if you throw us in. We will not bow down. And boy, I'll tell you, if there is ever a message for our world today, that's the message that needs to be, that we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are not going to bow down to the gods of this age. And that's just the way it's got to be. That's how I read the Bible. That's how I interpret the Bible. It's what the Bible says. And so, how many of you would agree with me this morning? It is one thing to have faith to escape and another thing to have faith to endure. I want you to think about this, because it's one thing to have faith to escape. It's another thing to have faith to endure. It's one thing to be sick and not be healed and still praise God. It's one thing to be sick and have the faith that you're going to be healed. But to be sick and not be healed and still praise God, friend, how many of you would agree that takes greater faith? Amen? And the Bible says these by faith received an A+ on their report card. They received a report. Well, let's think about that for just a minute, because one day we know, if the rapture comes, we get to avoid the middleman. We go right with the upper taker. Hallelujah, amen. I don't know about you. I don't want to see the undertaker. I want to see the upper taker. I just as soon avoid going down and having Terry or Jerry dress me. I'm looking for heaven, amen. I hope you are too. But should we die in this life, we're going to walk through a valley and we're going to stand face to face before the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? We all want that, amen? Then we better learn how to endure. We better learn how to endure. It's one thing to be delivered, and it's another thing to die, and it's all by faith. And so there better be an if not clause in your faith as well. Our God is able to deliver us. And if he doesn't deliver us, it's not because he cannot. You read in the New Testament where James was put in prison by Herod. And Herod had James's head cut off. You read that Peter was put in prison and God delivers Peter out of the prison. Therefore, God could have delivered James out of the prison, but he did not deliver James, but he did deliver Peter. And why? Well, you can ask him when you get home to heaven. I just want to tell you that God is sovereign. Do you know that today? God is a sovereign God, and God knows what is best. And God may not always deliver you from your sickness. He may not deliver you from whatever trial you're undergoing right now. God may not deliver you in your temptation. And if he doesn't, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand with God? Are you going to praise God? Are you going to call on the name of a mighty God and say, God, if you deliver me, I'll praise you. And if you don't deliver me, I'm still going to praise you. Because you are God and you know what is best. The call of the hour in the day in which we're living, as we see all that's taking place right around us in this present hour and in this world, is simply this: just stand. Stand for what you believe in. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're standing on the right side. You're standing up for his values. And we all know this world and everything in it just passing away. Amen. And then one day you're going to be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to tell him if you don't stand? Well, you see, Lord, I was a little bit worried about my physical body. I mean, I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't want to have to suffer none. You know, I don't like pain. You think that's going to cut it with God? You want to say, well, Lord, you know, I had this nice house you done give me, and I was trying to protect it. You think that'll cut it with God? Is there any excuse you can really give to God that's going to make any sense? And you know there is, and you know the answer to that, amen? And if you don't need the answer to that, you better be up here praying when we're done. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is not primarily receiving from God what you want. It is accepting from God what he gives. And these Hebrew boys, what kind of faith did they have? It was a settled faith. We don't got to worry about it. It was a strong faith. Our God is able. And it was a steadfast faith. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we are not going to bow. We are not going to bend. We're not going to break. And we discover they didn't even burn. Our God is able. Friend, no matter what fire you're going through, and some of those fires you may be in are what the Bible characterizes in the book of 1 Peter as fiery trials. I mean, they're painful. Some of y'all are in the midst of a fiery trial right now. There's seemingly no answers for your situation, what you're dealing with in your own personal life. But you still need to stand. You need to stand with God. There's a God in heaven who's going to take care of you in the midst of your fiery trial, in the midst of your fire. Our Bible tells us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. In Jesus Christ, you are a conqueror. Amen. Well, I want to take one last look at the fellowship they found. We talked about the fury they faced. And understand, you're going to face the same fury. In this woke cancel culture, you stand up for Jesus Christ. They don't like what you say. They say, we're just going to delete you somehow. Well, so be it. But look at the fellowship they found. We've talked about the fury they faced, the faith they followed. Now let's just for a moment talk about the fellowship they found. They were bound. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And this king is so mad that they won't do what everybody else did. I mean, he's furious. And so he says, you heat that furnace 7 times hotter than it was meant to be heated. And then he took his best soldiers and he said, y'all take them up, y'all throw them in. And when they took them up, they all got burned up. But not those men. They're down there, they're in the fiery furnace. But there's somebody who's with them, just like there's somebody who's with us. Jesus Christ was with them in the midst of the fire, and Jesus Christ is with you in the midst of your fires and your fiery trials. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is with you, and he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so, friend, Jesus is always with you. And Nebuchadnezzar says, well, you know, I see my soldiers are burned up. And I see that there are 3 down there. I'm going to take a look and see if they've turned crisp yet. And he looks in and he sees 4 guys walking around. And he says, one is like unto the Son of God. Pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? 3 things happened when they got into that fire. First, the Bible says that the bonds that were put on them were all burned off. And there was not even the smell of smoke in their clothes. That's a miracle in itself, because anybody you've ever sat around the fire, you know when you leave that fire, you smell like that fire. Amen. There was not even the smell of smoke upon them. The only thing that burned off them was what the world had put on them. You can go through the fire and God's just cleansing you. Do you realize that God knows how to cleanse you? It's just like Charlotte was sharing in that children's message this morning. Sometimes we got to be sharpened. Sometimes we're going to be whittled down a little bit. Sometimes we're going to suffer. But God's just cleansing us. And what's more, the times you're going to grow in your faith is when you're going through those tough times. How many of you grow in the easy times? We all want the easy times because it's easy, right? I mean, we'd all like faith to be nothing more than just sit down, kick back. We live in a high life. Go, Jesus. You ain't going to grow when you're doing that. You got to get down. You got to know what it's like to suffer. You got to know what it's like to go through a trial, because you get stronger in the trials. You know, some folks compare it to weightlifting. Some of you are nothing more than a 5-pounder. I mean, that's all you ever lift. You take that 5-pound weight and you go like this and you go like this and you say, man, look at me, I'm strong. No, you're not. It's when you take that 10-pound weight and you got to struggle a little bit that you build some muscle, right? Anybody who's ever exercised knows that. You got to keep adding to it in order to grow. There's the cleansing of the saint. There's the growing of the saint. But then there's the companionship of the Savior. Jesus will never, ever, ever, ever be closer to you than when you take a stand for Him. And you say, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what this world does. Doesn't matter what this world says. Doesn't matter what my neighbors say. Doesn't matter what my friends say. Doesn't even matter what my Christian brothers and sisters say. All that matters is what Jesus says. So no matter what happens, I'm going to stand with Jesus Christ. That's the attitude we need to have. And I'm telling you, if you want Jesus Christ to be real in your life, you need to stop being a Sunday morning bench warmer and start standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ and get involved in the issues in our community. Listen to me, there's a lot of things that are trying to be forced on this community, and we need to take a stand and stand up in our community. And when we do, we'll have the companionship of Jesus Christ like we've never had. And then finally, there's going to be the conviction of the sinner. Nebuchadnezzar looked into that fire. And he said, "What's happening? Why aren't they burned up?" Because their God had delivered them. Friend, do you realize this whole thing is about what the Babylonians worship? They worshiped the fire god, and his name was Isbar, and he's nothing like God Almighty, and Nebuchadnezzar had to admit it. Look at verse 29. "There's no God like our God." Do you want to know when this world is going to start having respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible? It is when you God stand up for God and we stand with God. And we better teach our children to stand up for God, because the spirit of the Antichrist is already in this world. Well, let me ask you right now where you're at to bow your head this morning and begin to pray. Begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray for your neighbor. Begin to pray for your children and your grandchildren. Because, friends, you need to know you won't even begin to stand against the Antichrist if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And so this morning we pray for the person, the soul, whether here or online, that does not yet know Jesus Christ, because they have not yet repented of their sin. They have not yet asked Jesus to come into their heart and be their Lord and their Savior. Every one of us needs to answer this question this morning: are you saved? There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. One day you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, will you stand as a saved saint? Or will you be spoken of by Jesus, "Away from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity"? Every one of us needs to consider what we're standing for. Every one of us needs to consider what we stand against. And every one of us needs to be certain that we are standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, in this world today, your word teaches, Jesus said it, there are many who think they are okay with God, but Lord, they're only fooling themselves. Jesus said that there would be many in that day who will say unto me, "Lord, Lord," and I will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." Friend, eternity is a long time not to have that right. And I pray this morning for decisions to be made. And we ask it all in that wonderful name, the sweet and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. We're going to sing a song, "Have Thine Own Way." Sister Kathy comes. You know, I say this every week, you can begin to stand. But God says in His Word never goes out void. And if there's a soul that you're concerned about, grandson, granddaughter, grandchild, you need to come and pray. But what about you? You need to come. This morning, as we sing this song, if God has spoken to your heart, you come this morning, you come.